This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. When I'm trying to go to sleep sometimes, it feels like my brain just will not shut it up. Suddenly, I'm like the most annoying person on the planet, and every single cringe or embarrassing thing I've ever done is loudly floating around in my brain. If you can relate, therapy is a great way to talk it through, get it all out of your head, so you can finally rest easy. If you've heard my other podcast, then you know I'm a therapy girly for real, okay? Therapy's number one advocate. It's helped me see my own issues and get out of my own way in life. If you've ever considered therapy but didn't quite know where to start, give BetterHelp a go. It's all online and super flexible, so it can easily accommodate your busy schedule. All you got to do is fill out a quick little questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you're not feeling that therapist for any reason, you can switch to a new one at any time for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BPLP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/BPLP. Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where we dive into the common and uncommon interests of Black people. How do y'all like the new intro? It was suggested by a listener named Nia. Thank you so much, Nia, for taking the time to send that over. Another new thing, I finally launched the Patreon that I've been talking about launching for forever. Head over to patreon.com/blackpeopleloveparamore and join the family. Please feel free to donate to the show at the link in the show notes, and please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, 5 stars only, because we are 5-star bitches worth your gotti. If you are watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of the things. I am your host, Sequoia, and today joining me to talk about America's Next Top Model, we have writer, performer, film, and audio maker, Simone Polanin. Thank you for joining, Simone.
Thank you for having me, especially to talk about one of the greatest TV shows ever made.
Hell yeah. Like, literally, I spent so much of my childhood watching this damn show. And it probably didn't have the greatest psychological effects in retrospect, but I didn't know when I was watching it. You know, it was a good time. Yeah. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Sure. These days, I'm hosting different podcasts. I am hosting Not Past It, which is a history show on Spotify. We sort of connect events from the past and try to understand how they're still influencing and informing, you know, the present moment that we're living through. And then I'm also hosting a new trivia show called Past Perfect, available wherever you get your podcasts. And that's just fun, like pop culture history questions. We've got some fun podcasters, comedians competing. So really excited about that. Yeah.
That sounds very fun. We love trivia over here.
Oh, good.
Very fun stuff. Yes. Okay, before we get into talking about America's Next Top Model, we have In My Defense. In My Defense is our segment where we bring one of our unpopular opinions and defend it for you all. Simone, I am very interested to hear your unpopular opinion.
Yes. Well, so I was thinking a lot about this because I was like, I feel like Tyra Banks herself, I could do a whole in defense of Tyra.
I'm telling you, you could.
Because she comes from a specific context that needs to be considered.
She does.
I'll save that maybe for when we dive into the show. Okay. Here's my unpopular opinion. Punctuality is overrated. I don't think being late is that bad.
That is unpopular. Absolutely. is unpopular. That's a real one. You're in New York, right?
I'm in New York, yeah.
I feel like that is particularly unpopular in New York.
And it really shouldn't be, because, hello, the MTA, like, we're all at the mercy of the MTA.
Fair. That's
famously
super fair.
Unreliable.
In LA, I feel like punctuality is a lot more flexible than it is in New York. Me, as someone who identifies as an East Coaster, but is very much from Los Angeles... I'm also pretty punctual, so I'm like, yeah, no, that's unpopular. That one is an unpopular one.
Okay, all right. Let me explain why I feel this way.
Yeah. We love
so. First of all, I'm not talking about like professional contexts. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if there's time is money, if there's money on the line, that's fine.
Of course.
I understand you want to be punctual, but I'm talking about more like social engagements. Like if we're going out, like we're meeting somewhere for dinner and like, I'm like, if you are within a 10 minute window, you're not late. Like, and you don't have to tell me, like, you don't have to tell me. I don't feel like I should have to tell you. Like, I think, like, if you're 10 minutes late, you're on time is my feeling.
Okay. I can definitely give a 10 minute grace period. 10 minutes is where my patience starts to run out. On that 10th minute, I'm like, okay, I need a text.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Why like 10 plus minutes? What feelings start to bubble up for you?
Damn, hold on. This is getting deep into my psychology now. Now it's about to get real deep into my psychology. Okay. The feelings that start to bubble up for me, I have my eyes closed. I'm really trying to put myself in the situation.
Tune in, yeah.
I feel disrespected. That's the primary thing. I'm like, oh, you just like don't give a fuck about my time, huh? The one resource on the planet that I can't get back. That's kind of crazy. And now I'm getting angry. And now I'm like, I'm going to go because this is not going to be a good time anyways. But I do feel you. If you're, for me, I would say it's probably like 5 minutes. If you're like 5 minutes, if you're 7 minutes late, you don't have to tell me. You're not late. It's fine. You're just coming. You know, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
When we get toward 15, I would say, I'm like, okay, we have a problem. I need a text. I need to know what's going on
at
least.
A little heads up. Hey. So, okay. I 15 plus minutes, a heads up. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling disrespected thing. I think that is a very common thing, right? Like you're disrespecting my time.
Yeah.
Here's my thing though.
Yes.
Why are you trying to control time so much?
Oh.
Why are you so desperate to be oppressed by time?
Ooh.
Like, why can't you people watch? Why can't you like take a moment and be
That's
in the present
fair.
And be like,
That's
you know
fair.
What? I can't control time anyways, so I'm not going to worry about being controlled by it.
Come on, Simone.
Is
that is
I'm
a
saying.
Word.
Open your third eye.
Open your
I'm
third
saying.
Eye. Okay. Your chakras are calcified over.
Yeah.
Open them up. Okay. That's really what's happening. Okay. I totally get that. I hear that. That definitely makes sense. Simone, are you an astro girly?
Okay, like
At
not
all.
Actually, but in spirit.
Yes.
I support the movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. Do you know your big three by chance?
I am
sun,
a
moon,
Taurus
rising?
Sun.
Okay.
I am a Leo rising.
Okay.
And I think I'm an Aries moon.
Okay.
What is
okay,
that?
Okay, okay, okay.
Are you like
I'm just wondering because you're like you can't control time. And I'm like, my Capricorn rising Virgo moon ass is like, I'll be damned if I can't. But it's correct. You actually just can't. I just don't know how to relax.
This is an even more controversial thing to say, but I stand by it.
Ooh.
Punctuality is not only not a virtue, it's a maladaptive coping mechanism.
Ooh, wait.
And
we're
that's
getting
a big
deep.
Thing to say.
We're getting deep. I want to hear more.
Listen, because I do think it's a stress thing. I think it's like I think the frustration and stuff, it's like anxiety, right? It's like, I plan to do this thing at this time and things aren't happening the way that I planned them.
Absolutely.
Well, that's life, folks.
Absolutely.
I don't know what to tell you.
Wow.
So
I think
we could
therapist.
Be a little bit more flexible.
This is crazy. I have to take it to my therapist.
Time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
you're not wrong.
I welcome that for anyone listening.
Y'all, I think I've just been dragged on my own show. So we're going to move on.
No, not dragged. just offering a different perspective.
I deserve it. Okay. I do need to relax a little bit. Okay. I don't have, and in my defense, as y'all know, I'm tired of telling y'all my unpopular opinions. I've had enough. Maybe I'll put it on Patreon. Now that Patreon is there, go on Patreon. Maybe I'll share some unpopular opinions that I won't say in public.
Ooh,
okay, because I have
spicy.
A lot of those. Very I'm also a Gemini sun. I live for an unpopular opinion.
Mm.
My whole spirit is unpopular opinions. Anyways, okay. Song of the week. I have a song this week, but Simone, I want to hear yours. I want to get to know you a little bit. What song did you bring for Song of the Week?
Oh my God, I so wanted to bring something cool and be like, yeah, I have really amazing music taste. But then I was listening to your show and there was so much good nostalgia. I don't think this has been mentioned yet. I don't know. You correct me if I'm wrong. Bowling for soup. Has this been brought up on the show before?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. Then I'm going to submit Bowling for Soup's 1985 as my song of the week. Yeah.
Great one. Fantastic decision. Yeah.
It's just like,
that was a good one.
It's a beautiful 19, narrative.
Yes. 19.
Listen, it's from that area of like, you know, the kind of like, oh, I hate that I'm living in the suburbs rock, like that early 2000s, yes. like teen angst, like all American reject, Simple Plan, like that. And I feel like Bowling for Soup was kind of in that category, but their songs were like, particularly like they're storytellers and like they're very Americana. It's very something very nostalgic about it, and it's like 1985 when you look at the song, like it's kind of like an empathetic, okay, maybe this is giving it too much credit, but it's like, in my opinion, like an empathetic portrayal of a woman going through, like, you know, a crisis as she's aging.
It really is. Like, yes.
Also, the song hits way different when you're in your 30s versus like listening to it as a 13-year-old.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I heard it for the first time in years, maybe like within the last 2 years, I heard it at some point. And I was listening to the lyrics more closely than I did when I was a child. And I was like, oh my God, that's what this song has been about the whole time. Mm-hmm. Just this woman having a hard time with coming to terms with the fact that she's aging and probably has anxiety. Isn't there a part where they talk about her like taking Xanax or Prozac or something like that?
One Prozac a day.
And I'm like, yes. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
This is an existential crisis.
It really is. Yeah. Deep. It's deep stuff.
It is. They really did paint a picture. It is a good song. Great song. Great choice, Simone. Absolutely.
Thank
Love
you,
that.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a song this week, too. My song is Most Girls by Pink. Now, if you don't remember the song, because I never remember it from the title for some reason. When I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that song, but I don't know the title. It goes, most girls want a man with a mean green. Don't want a so fucking good. It is such a good song. It is. Okay. It is a pick-me anthem, though. Such a pick-me anthem.
Well,
she's saying,
not her only
I am
one.
Nothing like most girls. Of course, no, there's so many pick-me anthems out here. I could actually do an entire episode about pick-me anthems alone. But it was such a pick-me anthem. She's like, I'm not like most girls. Most girls want a man to do yada, yada, yada. I could do for myself. I don't need that. Blah, blah, blah. Good for you, Pink. We love that. Okay, Blackpink. Wow. But what a time. It was a good song. Mm-hmm. It was a good time of music.
When she was back when she was really R&B too, when she was like in her soulful white girl era, you know?
Yeah. That's the original Blackpink. I'm trying to tell you. But yeah, that was a good time. She also was such an underrated vocalist. I feel like her actual singing ability is really up there and the girlies just don't talk about it.
I know. Except for I feel like I don't know who they are, but there is an army of Pink fans, because you look at footage from her concerts where she's like doing her circus tricks and whatever, and you're like, oh, there's 5 million people in attendance. Like, whoa. Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody showed up to see Pink flip and flop around above their heads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I probably would show up for that too. But yeah, she's great. I do like Pink. I think maybe the reason people don't take her vocals as seriously anymore because she shifted away from R&B type music and more into a pop rockish genre. It's not even really rock, but like a pop rock genre. And it's just harder to showcase vocals within that genre, which is also why I think people underestimate Hayley Williams' vocal ability often. If you don't explicitly know, then you kind of miss it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay, we could dive into America's Next Top Model. Oh, I'm excited to get into it.
Would love to. Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Let me explain what America's Next Top Model is for folks who might not know. Straight from Wikipedia, per usual. America's Next Top Model is an American reality television series and interactive competition in which a number of aspiring models compete for the title of America's Next Top Model and a chance to begin their career in the modeling industry. Created by Tyra Banks, who also serves as an executive producer, and developed by Ken Mock and Kenya Barris, Jump Scare. The series premiered in May 2003 and aired semi-annually until 2012, then annually from 2013. I think I had known in passing that Kenya Barris was like attached to America's Next Top Model, but I had entirely forgotten.
Yeah, that this is so interesting and also makes a lot of sense now that I think about it.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this checks. Okay. Mm-hmm. This checks. And this is not, I'm not even trying to throw shade at Kenya Barris at all. While Blackish is not for me, this is my unpopular opinion for the week. I really thoroughly enjoyed Black AF, which I think came on HBO.
Oh.
And it was like the HBO version of Blackish. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I laughed. I had a good time. Everybody was like, Sequoia, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, this is not good. And I was like, to you. It's not good to you. I liked it. So no shade, Kenya, no shade. It just makes sense.
He has a consistent ethos. I'll give him that.
He does. The ethos, the through line, it's always there. Uh-huh. It is always there. Okay, let's start off with the theme song. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Did you like it? You want to be on top? Yeah. Top. Yes.
It's literally so good. I used to run around my house screaming that at my parents. And I'm sure they were like cringing and fucking disgusted. I'm like, you want to be on top? And my mom got fed up one day and she was like, stop saying that. And I didn't get it because I was a kid. I was like, why can't I sing the America's Next Top Model theme song? Now as an adult, I'm like, oh. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of weird.
It is, from your
8-year-old. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah,
there was a lot we missed with our innocent eyes, you know, on this show.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I feel like a lot of people are going back and doing like a reckoning of America's Next Top Model, and like, I knew there was stuff that was messed up at the time, but then you look back and you're like, oh, whoa, the damage is pretty deep.
It's pretty deep. It's pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. I guess, what are your general thoughts on the show? Like, do you still look back at it fondly? Or are you
I do look back at it fondly, but also acknowledging it was, like, extremely problematic and, like, okay, let me back up a little bit. I think being a fan of America's Next Top Model is an exercise in holding two opposing things at the same time, because there's a lot of fun nostalgia. There's a lot of like, I don't know, just like whatever. It's not the healthiest portrayal of women, but there is something exciting of like, you know, this all female cast where it's like, you know, I don't know, women competing to like, I don't know, for like these careers and they're navigating relationships with each other and relationships with themselves. Like there are some interesting dynamics there. As a young girl, it was just exciting to see like older girls, like, you know, live their lives and do their thing. A very creative show. Like the challenges were super creative.
Yeah.
They had great judges.
Yeah.
Like
Miss
J, like the introduction of Miss J to the TV audience was an incredible move. And like there's just like a lot of gorgeous early 2000s like aesthetic, like deliciousness, just like the fashion, the hair, like the makeup, all of it. Now, on the flip side, really troubling things having to do with bodies and how bodies are discussed. So much messed up, like racial stuff. You know, putting girls in blackface and yellowface and all of that. Some really sketchy moments having to do with like consent and bringing male models into mm-hmm. the mix and some sort of, you know, sketchy sexual encounters, let's say. That's even a pretty soft way of putting it. And yeah, I mean, like, yeah, there's it's also a very problematic show. But I think both things can be true. Like, you can love it and also acknowledge that there was a lot that was very troubling about it.
Absolutely. I definitely feel that exact way, wholeheartedly. Along that line, let's jump into Tyra's most egregious antics from the show. Simone, earlier you were saying that you wanted to kind of give context to mm-hmm. the world in which Tyra was occupying when this was taking place. You want to do that now?
Yes, yes. Okay. So I think there are a couple things we need to understand about Tyra, or things we need to be reminded of. First of all, I think understanding that she was this like young Black girl entering the world of high fashion modeling, which is famously very anti-Black, trying to make a space for herself in that industry, doing so at the guidance of adults who may or may not have had her best interest at heart. And like, I think, you know, I think she absorbed a lot of really toxic messages that, you know, the fashion industry spews about people of color, about different body types, about, you know, women of different ages. Like, I mean, just name a category, and like the fashion industry probably has a troubling relationship with that. However, she found great success in this industry. And you have to ask yourself, like, what parts of yourself do you need to deny in order to like get to the upper echelons of an industry like this? So, you know, not excusing behavior, but that just to understand, like, I think that's something important to consider. And then having to do with the show itself, America's Next Top Model came on the air at a time when reality TV was so out of pocket consistently. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah,
I'm reminded of shows like, what was it? The Swan, where like, I don't know if you remember this, but it was like different women would come on and they would win plastic surgery procedures. And then, the like hottest women who got full body makeovers would compete in a beauty pageant. I think there was only one season of this show, understandably.
Oh my God.
But that's like, you know, this is the time that we're talking about. Or like, you know, The Biggest Loser was one of the most popular shows at the time. Just like, you know, fat phobia in prime time, like with, you know, no conversation really about, hey, how do we feel about this show? What was it? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of like other shows. Oh, I don't know. Okay, this is super random, but like Beauty and the Geek is a show that comes to mind. I don't know if you remember this.
I kind of remember that.
Where it was like,
yeah, a little bit.
A bunch of hot, stupid women and a bunch of nerdy, smart men are going to be in a house together, and like, how do they interact? So this is the era of like social experiment reality TV.
Yeah.
That's really just like putting people in like uncomfortable situations and like, you know, exploiting them for entertainment.
100%. Oh my God. You just kind of reminded me when you said social experiment reality TV. There was this one show, if I'm not mistaken, it came on like ID channel or maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was called Black or White or Black and White. I can't remember which one. But it was essentially wife swap, but race swap. And so they took a white family and a Black family and had them switch races and live their lives as the other race. Wow, this was such an era for reality TV. And it was around America's Next Top Model time as well.
Man,
That was wild.
That's so crazy. That's
they had white people in full blackface.
And were people like, yeah, this is a black person?
Yeah, people, yes. Allegedly, you know, based on what we were watching. But yeah, they had like little hidden cameras following them around. And they were, I remember one instance, they were riding the bus. Like the white family dressed in blackface was riding the bus or something. And somebody called them niggers. And they were like, wait, what? They're like, this actually happens? Shut up. Yeah, shut up. But I was like, did people really think these were black people? Anyways.
Yeah. Yes. Whoa. Okay. So what do you think about America's Next Top Model on the spectrum of all these shows?
Right.
It's like shockingly on the spectrum, moderate.
It's kind of tame.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a little bit moderate. It's definitely like kind of playing that centrist role on the spectrum because things really did get wild. I feel like some of Tyra's most egregious antics from the show included her pretending to faint to scare the girls. I think they're doing an acting challenge or something. She wore a fat suit on the Tyra Banks
show. That was the Tyra show,
Next Top Model.
Yeah.
Yes. She wore her, but let's table that because same universe. Okay. Also just some of the stuff that took place on her watch, like the makeovers often were kind of humiliating and
oh, she loved to humiliate and Cap.
She loved some humiliation. Yeah. She like loved it. It was really her shit. And then obviously the transracial shoot was another wildly, wildly egregious happening.
It's so interesting because I think if you go back and watch the way she's talking about it, is it's like cultural exchange, like like, you know, it's meant to be progressive and like it's hard for me. I so wonder, I'm like, is that really her intention? Is she just being like a, you know, TV producer? Like it's so hard to know. I can't tell her degree of awareness. Mm-hmm. And there's something, and I think that's part of what, I don't know, keeps me interested, because I'm like,
I agree.
How much thought is
when
put
I look
into
back
this?
When I look back and like watch the clips, especially from that episode, first of all, it was a Got Milk campaign. Why the hell for a Got Milk campaign did these girls need to trade races and do all this wild stuff? Very unnecessary. Put the little milk above the upper lip and call it a day, okay? Good enough. But as I watch it, I'm like, Tyra really does not seem to be malicious in this particular instance. There's other times I'm like, I don't really know what your intentions are here, Tyra. For me here, because it was such a different time and it was before the, you know, uptick of social media and the way that we have it today and before theories and academic theories were disseminated at the rate that they are now, I don't know that she for real knew the severity behind putting white women in blackface, putting other folks in yellowface, and doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Redface. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
why are you doing that? But I don't think that she knew. I really do think that she was like, we're going to do this very progressive thing, like you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to the context, I think, of the larger fashion industry, where like that was pretty common practice to, like, you know, putting white models in afros and whatever, like, it's not that recently that, you know, there's been big public pushback that has actually like gotten a response from these fashion houses. Again, not excusing at all what Tyra did, but just to contextualize her choices a little bit, maybe.
Right. Yeah, bad choices all around.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, the history of all of these things sustains. And if she had taken even a brief second to take a look and make sure that everything was okay, she would have been like, maybe this isn't a good idea. Or maybe as a TV producer, she would have been like, we're extra doing it. But I just didn't get the, because blackface, I guess, was never brought up. I don't remember blackface ever being brought up on that episode or like anything like that. Or just like, we're going to trade ethnicities. You are gonna be this and you're gonna be this, and it was like supposed to be glamorous. I just never heard the language used on the episode that would imply that any anybody thought anything was wrong.
Yeah, which is so wild to think of how many decision makers are like, green light, put it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even today, there's stuff I'm like, who the fuck said yes to this?
Mm-hmm.
And who was in the room for green lighting this? I'm so confused. So it happens, as we know.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. Are there any other moments that you can think of where Tyra was acting particularly ridiculous or greenlit something that was like particularly ridiculous?
Well, something that I really hated that they used to do on the show is like, if somebody was like really sick or something really difficult was happening in their personal lives, they would like really push them in that moment and then basically reward them for like showing up to work, even if they were feeling horrible. I remember there was, I forget what season this was, but there was a shoot that they did that was like the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yes.
And they were all, it was like, they were basically in like these like graves, right? Like the photo shoot was like, they're lying down in an open grave and they're like,
portraying a seven they sin. Took them and put them in graves.
Yeah.
It was not even like Photoshop or anything. They literally dug holes and put the girls down in the goddamn ground.
This is the other thing that I'm like, the older I get, I'm like, they could have built these sets. They could have built these sets. They didn't
it
need to.
It would have been cheaper, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
they didn't need to put models 6 feet in the dirt to like do a photo shoot. But,
wild.
Yeah, so that was the shoot they were doing. And then one of the models, she like just got the news that her good friend passed away.
Yes. And Caitlin, I remember this. Blonde girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she was obviously like, they pull up to the grave site where they're doing the photo shoot. And she starts having like a panic attack. And she's like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And then basically, I think it's Jay Manuel who's like running the photo shoot, and he goes up to her and he basically is like, use this feeling for your photo. Like, you know, modeling is the most important thing ever. Like, you have to do this. And then she does it, and it's really, she's like screaming in the middle. Like, she's really in a lot of pain, and it's like very obvious. And everyone's like, amazing, gorgeous, like, keep going. And she's like screaming. And then I think she won the challenge that week. I'm pretty sure. Like, she's probably, and she's rewarded for that, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. it just reinforces this idea of like, to achieve success, you need to like, deny these like these parts of yourself, these feelings that you're experiencing. You need to violate your own boundaries in order to achieve success. They did a similar.
It's like having to like push down your own humanity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There was another shoot. This was Danielle's season, who won her season, and was like, I think they were in Thailand. They were doing stuff with elephants, and she was really sick. And it was one of, and again, they were like pushing her to shoot, and she did it. And it's like, you know, she's like putting her head down between shots, and then like, boom, she's on. And then again, they reward her that week. You know, she wins the challenge that week.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being a kid and seeing the photo and being like, oh my god, that's an amazing photo, and thinking that it was very glamorous to like show up to work like on death's door and still like pull it out, be productive. I'm sure there were other instances of people being like pushed past their boundaries or past their, you know, just I think being pushed beyond what was fair.
Definitely. It really it kind of aids in that hustle culture that mm-hmm. has been rampant until very recently. There's a little bit of pushback against it, but yeah, it's like you show up to work, you do your job, and then you go home. It also kind of pushes the message that in order to be successful, you kind of have to give up autonomy of your own body.
Totally.
And that comes to the makeovers and these types of shoots where it's like something that you literally, your body is telling you no to, but you do it anyways. Yeah, it's like you are not, you don't belong to you. You belong to me mm-hmm. because I pay you. absolutely the fuck, absolutely the entire fuck not.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class, tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Bad messaging.
It's also like, and as a model, like, your body is your job. And so, like, if you don't have healthy boundaries, like, yeah, I mean, it's just, totally exploitative. Yeah. Controlling people's bodies for what, ultimately? For a purse?
Couldn't tell you. Right, for a purse. There's also that shoot, and this one was triggering for me in particular, as someone with severe arachnophobia.
Oh.
I don't even want to say arachnophobia. I just have a fear of spiders. Mm-hmm. I don't even care about the rest of the arachnid family. They don't really bother me like that. A fucking spider. I have almost crashed cars because spider was in the car.
Oh, no.
It's excessive. My roommate had to come pick me up. Because the spider was in my car, it was like midnight. I could not fucking drive home. She had to come. I drove her car. She drove my car.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Such a thing. That fucking shoot with that tarantula, I couldn't even be in the fucking room with the tarantula. There was no world in which, I remember Eva Pickford, who mm-hmm. ultimately won that season and had the photo of the week. Iconic, stunning photo. Beautiful photo.
Yes.
One of my favorite photos from America's Next Top Model. It's still hard for me to look at because I see that damn spider. But there was no way. There was no way I was going to be able to put the spider. I couldn't even be in the room. I was supposed to put it on my hands,
on
near
your
my
face. On your face.
No.
Yeah.
No. 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 No.
Not about it.
No.
Yeah. That reminds
not about
me
it
of,
at all. I think I'd rather chop my damn hand off.
Do you remember the cockroach runway that they did? Where they had to like carry
no,
a hissing.
I don't.
Yeah. Ugh. This was okay. I
oh,
love
yes,
this.
I do. Yes.
They had to carry a hissing cockroach that was, I think, on a chain or something as like their accessory down
yes.
the runway.
Yes. Oh, shit. I forgot about this wild ass shit.
Yeah.
Very creative, but very weird.
Very
like,
weird.
Yeah.
But very cool. And, well, in my opinion. But the best part was my yeah. favorite contestant of all time, Jade. She went, she did her runway, and she was the kind of like light skinned girl with the blonde curls. She kisses the cockroach at the end of the runway.
I remember.
And I was like,
I
that's a star. Jade is a
An
star.
Icon.
Yeah.
A fucking
yeah.
icon. She was probably disgusted by the cockroach just like everybody else. But
oh,
when
I'm
you
sure.
get on the runway, you kind of turned it on. I'm
yeah.
a star. I kissed it. Yes, I did. Wow. Let me see what this lady looks like. Oh, yes. I definitely remember Jade. Wow, what a lady. Wow. Oh, yeah. She reminds me of Alicia Keys.
Yeah, she kind of does. She kind of looks like Alicia Keys a little bit. She was the one that goes, she points to the wand. She's like, this isn't America's Next Top Best Friend. And that's like,
well,
yeah,
period.
Which is true.
Iconic. Aligned. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she just has so many good moments.
Tell me about your other favorite contestants. Do you have any other ones? Jade is a great one.
Oh, Jade I loved. Yaya, I really
yes.
loved. And she was done so dirty on her season.
Yes.
She's so beautiful. I love that she has this like flourishing acting career now too.
Yes, me too.
She just had such a point of view, you know, like, and she was really like grounded in herself, which is not common for people that young to be, and especially not somebody who's like submitting themselves for a reality show, you know.
She had such an old soul. Like, mm-hmm. I never registered her as young, you know? Like, I was like, oh yeah, Yaya's like older. She wasn't, though. She was young.
I really liked Mercedes from season two. She made it pretty far. She was really young. One big part of her storyline was she had lupus, and that was like she had to manage that. Actually, a lot of those early seasons had some really talented models.
They did.
Because, like, those first two seasons, I feel like, were actually a little bit more like, this is what the modeling industry is, and this is, that's her. You know, it felt a little bit more, like, grounded in the real world, and then it was just like, it's the circus now. Like, at some point, it pivoted. Naima, I really liked. I thought she had a really cool look. Nick.
She's listed as one of my faves.
Do you remember Nick? She was the runner-up the season that Nicole won.
Let me see. Nick and TM.
She had the best hair, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow, these girls have such iconic faces. Even though I can't remember their names, mm-hmm. I definitely remember these ladies' faces. That's Nick.
Oh, so
what a good one. Yeah. What a good one. I liked her.
I really liked the twins too. Do you remember Amanda and something? Amanda and I might have to look this up real quick.
Twins. A and TM twins.
Amanda and Michelle.
The Babin twins?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's season 23. Amanda and Michelle. Oh, Amanda Babin. Yeah. I remember them. Yeah.
They did, just to go back to fucked up photo shoots, they did do, I remember they made one of the twins do a bulimia shoot, and she was like hunched over a toilet with cake, and they were like, this is so fashion.
Fashion.
Yeah.
Fashion. Lord. Early 2000s was a horrible time for young women. God, what a bad time to be in your formative years.
Seriously.
I have a few faves too.
Yeah.
Yaya is listed as one of my faves. She really was done so dirty. I wanted her to win her season so bad. And while I love Eva Pickford, Eva Marcel, that's her name now, Yaya should have won that fucking season. I feel like you said earlier, they rewarded when you pushed past your limit, and therefore Eva won because she was having such a hard time with that fucking spider and pulled out such a great photo. And I think that's ultimately what caused Eva to win. But Yaya's photo from that shoot was also stunning, mm-hmm. and she was consistent through the whole show. And she was very grounded in herself, very self-assured. And I don't think that the judges liked that. And they didn't appreciate that. She was not very malleable. She was very true to who she was, mm-hmm. Very African centered, and they did not fucking like it. And I didn't like that they didn't like it. That pissed me off. Naima is another fave that I have. Brittany Brower. Do you remember Brittany?
Brittany, was she kind of like loud?
She was really loud, and everybody said that she was like a young Janice Dickinson.
Yes. And... yes, I do remember her. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, she was fun.
I loved her. I thought that she was so fun. Yeah, she was very fun. And Takara, obviously.
Takara went on to host
and stuff and be very cool. Mm-hmm. She was like one of the first plus size girls to be on America's Next Top Model, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Like actually plus size. Was Takara actually plus? Let me look, because I'm saying actually plus size from my damn.
She could have been a size 10, 8-year-old mind, honestly,
and she really might not have been. Right. She truly might. No, the fuck she's not. I'm looking right now. This is
the what? She's a size 4. I mean, she's like, what? Oh my God.
This is small.
That's crazy.
I'm terrified. I'm fucking terrified. Oh my God. Anyways. Wow, she had to endure a bunch of bullshit too from being the first size 4 instead of size 0 that they had on the goddamn show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my ANTM faves. A good time. I had a good time with them. Did you have any least favorite contestants?
Sure. Oh yeah, sure. Well, okay, mm-hmm. okay. There was one season where everyone got super homophobic. Okay, so there was this model, Kim. I don't know if you remember her, but she was like more androgynous.
I'm looking at her. Yeah. I do remember Kim.
And I think she might have made out with like one other cast member who was like, oh, I've never met a gay person before. You know, like one of these, like,
of course,
you know, girls from, well, I don't want to disparage any place. Just, I'm going to put it on her.
I started and I pulled back.
Yeah.
Right. Put it on her. Right.
Yeah. And then there were, I don't even remember this girl's name, but there was like one girl who was just so bothered by the fact that there was like a gay woman in the house, and she was like, you know, just saying a bunch of homophobic shit. But couldn't even tell you her name, so goes to show how memorable she is.
I know. I do remember that a little bit though. Yeah, it was like another girl from somewhere who was very religious to some degree or something,
just
so bothered that she had to share a house with a queer person, and she thought she was like sinning by even accepting the queer person in her space.
Yeah,
it was just a lot. Oh my God. And they knew what they were doing by putting both of those human beings in the house together. They definitely were trying to
manufactured
reality TV. Definitely manufactured the fuck out of that. Put that girl's safety at risk in order to make quote unquote good reality television.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah.
She's definitely least favorite. Hate her.
This is not, I don't hate her, but I don't think she deserved to win her season. Salisha? Ooh. Was that her name? With the mushroom
Salisha.
Cut?
Salisha. Oh, yeah. She was like the first petite girl, right?
Maybe.
I think she was.
Maybe. She had a the controversy was she had a pre-existing relationship with Tyra, kind of, because she had gone to her like summer camp.
Oh.
It felt like the season was rigged in her favor.
She's 5'10. She's not petite. Never mind. But yeah. I do remember the mushroom cut girl.
Yeah. That's
of
her.
Course Tyra had a summer camp. That is so on brand.
Yeah, T-Zone.
So Oh yeah, I actually do remember T-Zone for sure.
Yeah. Inspire it's like empowering young women through modeling. Yeah.
Naturally. I don't think I had I'm sure I had a least favorite contestant, but none that I can think of right now. But Janice Dickinson.
Oh,
a demon.
My word.
A demon. Horrible.
She,
horrible.
Lady. Yo, this is another one who I'm like, do not like the behavior, but what must she have gone through to act this way and to feel comfortable?
Oh, she definitely went through the shit.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I mean, horrid to these young I mean, some of them were kids, basically. I mean, you know what I mean? Just horrible, horrible
literally.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched a clip in preparation for this episode. And there's like, they do like beauty shots, you know, photo of the week. They're putting everybody's photos up and the judges are judging them in the panel style. And it's a photo of a black girl. And she looks beautiful. Like her photo is very clean. Beautiful. And Tyra's like, okay, now let's see the unretouched version. And like the unretouched version, when I tell you the changes were minute, minuscule, minimal, I was like, okay, y'all could have went with this for the final version and this also would have been great. Janice was like, oh, it's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie, like toggle back and forth and just see how fucking scary it is.
Oh my God.
Like, Janice, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Also the era where everyone's like, we need a Simon Cowell. We need somebody who will just like verbally abuse the people on the show. I remember she also had it out for this one girl, Kenya. I don't know if you remember her. Another case of somebody who they were like...
She was too, quote unquote, African.
And she was too large, according to them, too. And again, this is somebody who's like teeny tiny. They did a photo shoot where they had to be like different animals, and they assigned her the elephant. Same Seven Deadly Sins challenge, they gave her gluttony. Like, they were just so determined to tear her down, and like, you know, just basically, I mean, it felt like, honestly, they were like, I want you to tell me that you're ugly. Like, you tell me that you're ugly.
Right.
And yeah, it feels like that's what they're like working towards.
Right.
Yeah.
That was her at the time, for reference. Look at how fucking
so
teeny
crazy.
Tiny.
Like,
teeny
flat
fucking
stomach.
Tiny.
You could probably see her hip bones still. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm telling you. And they said that her thighs were huge. I remember that. I remember Janice being like, your thighs are huge, which was like scary for me as a bottom heavy black girl. I was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah,
like,
it plants so many.
I'm like an elephant.
Body dysmorphia seeds. Like, it, yeah. And then the girl, and then I remember that. I don't know why I remember this detail so much, but she like went to go get a second yogurt at breakfast, and the girls were like, well, you've heard what the judges have been saying, like, do you really need another yogurt? Like,
stop. A second yogurt.
A yogurt.
Oh my God, we were so sick. Society was so sick. You know, like, this is really putting, like, talking about this is really putting things into perspective, because I swear to God, I'm always like, this is the worst time, we live in the worst fucking time. No, I'm not so sure. I'm really not so sure, because this even reminds me of the teeny, itty bitty, teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini Yoplait commercial. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, where it's like, you can have key lime pie yogurt and indulge for 0 calories. Like, yeah.
Bitch, all you can eat is yogurt to fit into this fucking bikini. Yeah. What? Okay, I guess I'll starve. Like, planting the seeds of so many EDs all over the place. Oh my God, it was so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if people remember this, but when the Kardashians came on the scene, like, there was almost like a sigh of relief of like, oh,
yes,
we're celebrating
because they were,
curvaceous
quote, unquote,
bodies.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is what, like, I want Gen Z especially to like listen to this and understand this. And when you're interacting with millennials and you're like, why, something's off about this person, you need to know that we've been through a lot of trauma.
Sick.
There's something
sick.
Wrong with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well. You're right. Help.
Yeah.
Goddamn help. We made it good for you. We paved the goddamn way. Help.
Yeah. We have deep wounds.
Wow. No, that's real. That's real. That is so real. Do you have a favorite season?
I mean, probably one of those earlier seasons. Maybe it was that Naima season. Because, like, that Seven Deadly Sin shoot was good. There were a lot of good
stuff.
The
bird shoot.
Oh,
I think that was, like, part of Naima's season. Yeah.
I did like Danielle's season a lot too. I'm trying to think.
Danielle was the black girl with the gap that they were trying to tell her she needs to close, and she was like, I like it.
Yes. Yeah, and thank goodness.
And they made her like read something aloud repeatedly even after she was uncomfortable reading it the first time, like the humiliation. Hate to see it.
I'm trying to but yeah, maybe I think that Naima season, honestly, it was also the first season that I watched, so I think it holds a special place in my heart. But
that's fair.
It was a really, like, I thought the cast, there were a lot of different personalities. There was, like, you know, looking back, really sad, but like juicy interpersonal drama, good challenges, and I think Naima was their first non-white winner too.
Oh shit! Oh wait, was Naima season 4? Because season 3 is when Yaya and Eva won.
Oh,
I think Naima
okay,
might have been
mind.
Season 4.
I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what I just said.
But that makes sense. They, You know, I think I started watching at season three. Okay. So I don't even know who, those first two winners are. I see them. Mm-hmm. And when I was researching this episode, I was like, oh, I've never seen either of these human beings, which tell me that I started watching at season three and onward. This show went until 2018, y'all. In case you didn't know, this was going on until 2018. At some point, Rita Ora started hosting it.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I'm out.
You're gonna have to
let me go. Yeah, I think I did too, to like make fun of it. I hate watched it.
Yeah.
Honestly. How random.
So, but isn't that Rita Ora's bag? She's like, let me do the most random shit possible.
Yes. Like, what does this lady do? Yeah. What is your job, Rita? I want to know.
What makes the least sense? Let's do that. That's what she tells her management team. Yeah.
Right.
And then I think it's so funny that, like, after one season, Tyra's like, I have to come back. Like,
right.
This isn't working.
You're ruining my show. Move, Rita. Yeah. That's literally what's going on.
Yeah. But man, 2018, I didn't realize it went on that long.
Yeah, it went on a long fucking time. Too long, some may say. I don't know. It kind of was over. It went from UPN to the CW to VH1. And I don't even know where it landed in 2018. I don't know where that ended up. But yeah. Wild. Okay. Do you have a favorite shoot? The Seven Deadly Sins? Is that what you said was your favorite shoot?
Oh, that is a favorite one. I did really like that one. I feel like I can pull out an even. Oh, you know, another shoot I really liked was the Circus Freaks shoot.
That one was so good. Totally forgot about that one. That it was really good.
Yeah, I really like that. The twins again. The twins, of course, were conjoined twins. You know, we don't have to dive into that anymore. Yeah. We'll just leave that there. But I remember too, there was one model who they wanted to be the strong man. And like her whole thing was like, she had like kind of like a more square bone structure. They gave her like a shortcut and she was really struggling with like, she wanted to be feminine, but they were kind of trying to push her into this more androgynous box. And then she did that shoot and she like, you know, they like painted on these like abs and she had these like muscles and she was like holding up this like big barbell and it was just a really powerful photo. And I think if I remember correctly, I think she saw for the first time like, I can express beauty outside of femininity. At least and for me too, it was really exciting to see like women, you know, with different expressions, like find their beauty.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Certainly feel that. That one was a really good one. I absolutely forgot about that one. I think Carrie D was on that season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do remember Carrie D being someone that I liked as well. I don't remember much about her. I just remember having an affinity for her. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite shoots, or just the one that sticks in my mind the most often, is the Zodiac shoot.
Oh yeah,
where they had each of the girls be a different zodiac sign, and it sticks in my mind so much because of I don't remember how to pronounce it. UV, yeah, I think this woman's name was pronounced UV.
I remember her. Yeah,
was scheduled to be Pisces. Pisces is a fish that is the zodiac symbol for Pisces, and her photo shoot ended up turning out not great. You know what? And this also pissed me off. Who determined the best photos? Tyra always said it was her.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But you're telling me that, like, sometimes there was no better photo than, like, UV's dead face turned, like, she never made a different face than that? Okay, Tyra. Y'all were pulling strings and fucking with people's careers and lives for real to make, quote-unquote, good reality TV. And that was annoying. But yeah, I definitely remember UV's shoot all the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember the judges being like, you look so dead behind the eyes. Like, this is a horrible photo. Like, and I think she, I'm not sure if it was her, but sometimes the girls would push back and be like, you're telling me this was my best photo. And they would always get so mad. They're like, yes, are you saying that we don't know how to do our jobs? Yes, this was your best photo. I promise you, you never look better than you did right here. You look horrible right here. So what do you think you look like in the rest of the photos?
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all are just doing too much. You're lying. Show me the photos then. Prove it.
Yeah. Oh, man. They really did not like any kind of pushback whatsoever.
They didn't. The moment you suck up for yourself at all, you best believe you're not winning the show. You might get kind of far, a la Yaya, but you're definitely not going to win the show. You push back on them one too many times.
Yeah. I just
Do you have any other thoughts?
Oh, I just, sorry, I just, one more style of shoot that I wanted to highlight was anytime they put the girls in drag, those were great shoots. There was like there was one where it was like they all had to be a different kind of guy, like surfer guy or like business guy, and then there was like a guy in drag also, and they were like, you know, these couples but like gender swapped. And it's always so fun to see. Like, I feel like people were really playful with that shoot, and people sort of like were able to inhabit this different energy, which is really fun. And then there was the other time where they had to play celebrity power couples. And so they would dress up as like both members of the couple.
And, oh, shit. They were Jay-Z and Beyonce for one of them.
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
And I remember then, that.
Do you remember Anshul?
Yes, I do remember Anshul. Yeah, she was.
She was Oprah
Indian?
And Steadman. Yeah, she was Indian.
And she was Oprah and Steadman.
And seeing Anshul as Steadman is like one of the best moments in TV.
What a fucking time. It was fun, I felt like, because we were all watching the same stuff. Whereas now it's a lot more divided, you know, between streaming or just having a bunch more content that exists in the world. We're not all consuming the same thing anymore. But at some point, we were all watching the same stuff. Like, we all watched American Idol. We all watched America's Next Top Model. It was just something that we were doing. And we were definitely calling in for American Idol. And, you know, like, we're all doing... We used to be united.
Yeah, it's definitely the media landscape. That's the reason we're in this place we're in now. There is something about like the fragmentation of culture that just it makes it harder to relate to people unless they're like really aligned with all your little niches.
Right. And like, who is? Oh, my God. That's why we have the loneliness epidemic. This is like.
Oh, wow. We're diagnosing society
right
now.
It's therapy through pop culture. Everything is 2020 in retrospect. Wow.
Yeah.
This is wild.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else. There was something else I want to mention, but I can't remember what it is now. And I'm going to be so annoyed when I turn. Oh, I want to talk about, of course, her, Tyra, yelling at Tiffany. When she got eliminated. We have to talk about it. Yeah.
Man, that is honestly still a hard moment to watch.
It is.
When you it's really raw in a way that like I kind of believe it. Like I kind of believe that she like dropped her, you know, reality TV host facade. And is like really trying to connect with this person that is frustrating her. But Tiffany did not deserve to be talked to in that way on television.
She did not.
And also, modeling is not the most important thing in the world.
It's not curing cancer. Like, there's no need to. And I say that about my own job, too. I don't want any models to be like, oh, you think this shit is easy? I really don't. First of all, I really don't. I did exactly one modeling thing. And could never do another one because I had an attitude the entire time because the shoot was too long and I was on my feet too long and it was exhausting. Anyways, we're not curing cancer, most of us. And so there's literally no reason for me to take verbal abuse at my job under any circumstances, whether I'm a model or otherwise. So, watch him out.
And also, like, I don't know, like, she was, like, trying to protect herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's really... short-sighted to see somebody who isn't crying and to arrive at the assumption that they don't care.
Like, how did you get here? According to the internet, word on the street is the berating was actually a lot worse than what was shown on TV. Apparently they edited out some of the most harmful and hurtful things that Tyra said to her, including you can go back home to your mattress on the floor and your kid and think about what you've done or something like that. So I've seen Tiffany talk about it like since. Mm-hmm. And she has mentioned that like she felt very disrespected and like that just like wasn't okay. I think she might have reconciled with Tyra since. I can't actually remember that part. But I definitely understand, like, yeah, someone's evoking very personal, you know, close to the chest things for a TV moment. Yeah. Now, if I swing, I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I did not know that. Doesn't surprise me that she would allegedly say something like that. Yeah. I could believe it. Right. And I could believe it. How about right. that?
And it doesn't surprise me that she probably like looked back and was like, edit that out. I was yeah. lying. Like, we can't have that air.
Though they did love a little like, we're pulling girls, you know, out of the hood narrative.
They did. Oh, they loved a rags to riches. Yeah. We're going to make you a superstar, you little black girl from the hood. Oh my God. Or, you know, you little white girl from wherever the fuck, middle yeah. of nowhere. We're going to take you from your nowhere life and bring you to LA. Mm-hmm. Like, all you need is a bikini. Oh God. Oh my God. And they had them in bikinis on the front. How troubling. Oh my God. It was scary all around. A scary time.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I'd be curious to see if somebody made a modeling competition now, what that would look like.
Me too. Wait, there was always this idea that somebody's grandma was letting their lights get turned off in order to afford the bathing suit that they came
oh,
in.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Every grandma like, was down bad.
Every grandma
for her
was
granddaughter's
down
bikini.
Bad for
yeah.
her granddaughter's bikini, okay? Bathing suits at that time were like $20, $20 US. What light bill yeah. was $20 US? That, what? They were lying. They were on TV just like lying, trying to make good TV. The producers were producing. They yeah. were doing way too much.
Yeah, that's a story I would love to hear. The makers of really America's would. Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Mr. J recently did some interview about being fired from America's Next Top Model and how bad that was and how his relationship with Tyra never really recovered. Oh. Damn, I didn't look into that. I forgot that I had seen that recently, so I didn't look into it. I don't have the exact details, but I don't know. Lots of folks seem to have an issue with yeah. Tyra Banks. So
doesn't seem like it was good experience for most of the people involved.
It doesn't. And I loved Tyra Banks when I was a kid. I used to write her name on like my binder. Remember you could like decorate the front of your binder?
Mm-hmm.
I used to like write her name on the front of my binder. I watched the Tyra Banks show every day religiously. Now I'm like, God, what was my 10-year-old self, you know, 12-year-old self doing? Like, yeah. I don't even know what I was absorbing, what was going into my brain. So bad.
I was not allowed to watch the Tyra show. So I would sneak watch it behind my parents' back. Mm-hmm. And
of course.
Even watching it, I was like, yeah, I get why they don't want me to see this. Like, makes right. sense, but it's good, and it's yeah. and I like absorbing this information. Heavy quotes on information.
Definitely feel that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that is all that I have. Do you have anything else that you wanted to chat about regarding ANTM?
Just I believe, without Tyra Banks, we wouldn't have the present incarnation of RuPaul. And I think RuPaul is great at branding and, in my opinion, has used a lot of the Tyra Banks school of business. And also, you know, isn't Drag Race also kind of inspired by America's Next Top Model?
It seems like it. I could definitely see that.
At least the earlier seasons. So I think, you know, from one reality TV empire to another.
Yeah, I think a lot of shows wouldn't exist without America's Next Top Model. It was pretty early in the reality TV show scene.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like the first, but it definitely was like pretty early in like that competition reality TV show scene. I think a lot of VH1 shows wouldn't exist without America's Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
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 Thank you, Tyra, for Tiffany Pollard, I guess.
Yeah. She's given us culture that maybe hasn't aged well, but it has lasted.
But it has definitely, like, informed culture coming forward, going forward.
Yeah.
That's all that I had. Thank you so much for coming on, Simone. It was so good to have you.
It's been my pleasure.
Please let folks know where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Simone Polanen, P-O-L-A-N-E-N. Listen to Past Perfect. I think that's it for me.
Great. And you can find me per usual at BPLP Pod across Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can email me at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com with episode topic recommendations, hate mail, feedback, or anything else. And please join the Patreon family. You'll get exclusive content, access to potential to be on the show. Okay, that's like the big draw there. And you can find the Patreon at patreon.com/blackpeopleloveparamore. And that's it. See y'all later. Bye.